today in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at some contrast between the message or the ministry of Peter and Paul. You know, when you talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, that's one of the things that many times people take offense to. They kind of bow up when you talk about the fact that Paul's ministry was different than Peter's, because so much of religion today teaches that really all that Paul did was kind of carry on the ministry that was started by Peter and James and John and the 12 apostles. And there's a lot of people today that fail to recognize the distinctiveness and difference in Paul's ministry from that of Peter. When you think about it, Peter, back in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." And the church he's talking about there, of course, is that church that was started at Jerusalem. It's that kingdom church. He taught the disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so in that kingdom program, Peter was the chief spokesman, if you will. And you'll find that when you get to the book of Acts, that generally that's what's recorded over there. It's what Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And of course, we later hear from Philip and James, but Peter is the main figure there. But in Acts chapter 9, the apostle Paul is saved. And from that point forward, we see Peter mentioned less and less. As a matter of fact, after Acts chapter 15, you'll not find Peter mentioned one time in the book of Acts. The whole focus turns to our apostle, the apostle Paul. And so I want us to look at some things today that are different between what Peter preached and what Peter did, and what Paul preached and what Paul did. First of all, I want you to notice that the focus of Peter's preaching in the book of Acts is Israel and prophecy. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 16, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Now notice, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." In other words, Peter explains what is going on in the ministry there of preaching the message of repentance, water baptism, and so forth, as being that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." If you look over to chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you." Now notice, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." Now notice the last part of the verse, "which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Then, isn't it clear in the verse that what Peter is preaching here is that which was spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began? That is clear if you believe the verse means what it says. If you look down in verse 24, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." The days in which Peter was preaching. The day after the day of Pentecost there, when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, they began to preach and teach those people there at Jerusalem. They were to start at Jerusalem, then go to Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Peter said, "Yea," verse 25, "ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, said unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God hath raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So Peter's message is totally and completely in prophecy. It's according to prophecy. The days that were going on there, what were called the last days, were according to prophecy. It was all according to prophecy. That is, you could go back in the Old Testament, you could read, and you could find in the prophetic program what is taking place in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says. Look over in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, he was given the dispensation of the grace of God to usward. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, he says, now remember, Peter said he was preaching to what? The people. When you see that phrase in the King James Bible, it refers to the nation Israel. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, don't you know that infuriated those law-keeping, baptized Jews that were glorying in that which they did? Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and put no confidence in the flesh. But he tells us there in Philippians 3 that there was a time when he did put confidence in the flesh. Think about this little Jew, Paul, now proclaiming that there is none righteous, no, not one. He said, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Look down in verse 19. Well, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, Paul is preaching a guilt indictment, if you will, upon the whole world, the whole universe, including the nation Israel, including the Gentile nations. All have sinned. Notice over in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, talking about the nation Israel, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, the Jews, their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You see, Peter, when he's preaching, Israel is still God's people. They're still God's people. Israel is still standing, and prophecy is being fulfilled. But when Paul is preaching, Israel is fallen, and the prophecies have been postponed. Look down in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Look over in Romans chapter 16. In Romans 16. Romans 16, 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Well, Peter said that which he was preaching had been made known since the world began. Paul said what he is preaching was kept secret since the world began. And as the saying has always been over the years, things that are different simply are not the same. Peter's preaching, Israel, repent. According to prophecy, it's to be fulfilled and you're to repent and so forth. Paul is completely different. He is saying that Israel has fallen, the prophecies are postponed, and that we're now preaching the mystery. Notice back in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the second thing I want you to notice. First of all, Israel and prophecy were being fulfilled in Acts 2. Paul is not fulfilling prophecy in his ministry. He's rather fulfilling the mystery. Number two, the apostolic responsibility. What is the responsibility of Peter and the 12? Well, in John chapter 4, there's a clue to that that is very important. John chapter 4, in verse 22. He says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Now notice, for salvation is of the what? Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Look back in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, salvation is of the Jews. Who was to bring that message to them? It was to be the 12. Thus Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. He said, you have by wicked hands taken and slain and crucified the Holy One. But God has raised him up. And they said, they were pricked in their hearts and said, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That was the message that Peter preached. That was their responsibility, was to bring salvation to the world through the nation of Israel. Salvation is of the Jew under that economy, under that program, if you will. Well, today, salvation is not of the Jew. Come think about it, folks. The Jews today don't even believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. You couldn't find salvation today from an unbelieving Jew. They might tell you about the fact that one day the Messiah is going to come, but come on, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, died for our sins on Calvary, was buried and raised again the third day. But under the program that was administered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he sent them out in Matthew 10 and said, go not into the way of the Gentile or any city of the Samaritans, salvation was of the Jew. You see, there was always Gentile salvation. But the Jewish nation was God's program for bringing salvation to the world. Therefore, they were going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But there was an order that had to be followed. It had to go to the Jew first. The idea was that they would repent as a nation. They would be saved. They would go out into all the world as the kingdom of priests and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And there would be salvation extended to the world. They were going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All of that was involved in their ministry. But when the Apostle Paul came on the scene, the Jew, as we already read, he said, has fallen. Look over it back in Romans chapter 11 again. Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11. Verse 13, Paul says, For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. You see, contrary to popular belief, we do not worship the Apostle Paul. We do not put him on some kind of pedestal as being superhuman. We simply do what God told us to do, and that is acknowledge the ministry, the position, the authority of the Apostle Paul as the Apostle of the Gentiles. God had 12 apostles that he sent to the nation Israel, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and put him to death. He then sent forth 12 apostles, and they preached. Jesus Christ was proven to be the Messiah by his death, burial, and resurrection, and you rejected him. And they rejected again the ministry of the 12. They rejected the ministry of the Holy Ghost, if you will. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost when they rejected the message of Peter and the 12. And so God saved the Apostle Paul. And in 1 Timothy, we're going to be studying there tonight, Paul talks about how he was first to be saved in the manner in which he was saved. He was a blasphemer and injurious, but he obtained mercy. God saved him when he deserved death. And Paul was given this glorious message of the gospel, the grace of God. Paul was given a ministry as the apostle of the Gentiles. Not only that, look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, in verse number 25, Paul says, Whereof I am made a minister. What's he talking about? Look back in verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Look back in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, notice, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. How much clearer does it need to be, folks? The Apostle Paul said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Then who is the heathen? It's the Gentiles. I remember one time we were at a Bible conference and we were having this discussion and, came around about the Christmas tree and everything, and somebody said something about Jeremiah 9 or 10, I think it is. It says, learn not the way of the heathen. They said, Brother Steve, you shouldn't do that. The Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. I said, I am the heathen. What do you mean learn the way of the heathen? We are the heathen, folks. We're the uncircumcision. Gentiles. And God, through His mercy and His grace, saved a man and gave him a message that would include me and include you in salvation. And it's by His grace. Why? Because we were outside the covenants of promise, strangers from the covenants of promise, without God, without hope in the world. In Christ Jesus, though, we have hope. There's the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. The apostolic authority, the apostolic responsibility of the 12 was to the nation Israel. What was Paul's responsibility? It was to the Gentiles. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul there talking about his ministry in verse 11. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, be ye followers of me. In 1 Corinthians 11, be ye followers of me. Listen, folks, there is a distinct difference between the ministry of Peter and Paul. Peter's message was all about Israel and prophecy. Paul's message was all about the mystery. Peter's message was all about, or their responsibility was salvation to the Jews first. And Paul's was to the Gentiles. Now, what about justification? What did Peter preach about justification? Well, look over in James chapter 2. When I say Peter, I'm talking about the 12. Peter and the 12, making reference to the group. In James chapter 2. Everybody that believes in that salvation includes works is very familiar with this passage. And when you tell them that this is not written to you, they'll look at you real funny. That is, until you read James chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And so I generally like to ask people, if you're having this discussion, is what tribe are you a part of? If you're part of the 12 tribes, which one is it? I've never had anybody yet that's been able to tell me which tribe they're a part of. Now, I've had people, you know, it was of the Cherokee tribe and the Sioux tribe, but they never claimed to be part of Israel. The fact is, in James chapter 2, in verse 21, the Bible says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Folks, listen to me. There are people today, and it's becoming more prevalent even in the grace message, that preach and teach that salvation has always been by grace. There was never a time when works were included in salvation. Well, I find that very difficult to accept in light of the verse right here and verses like Matthew 19, when a man came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." Now, I don't know about you, but keeping the commandments to me is work. It's hard. It's difficult. And James said, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now what is interesting is that the Apostle Paul uses Abraham also as an example. But you know what Paul says about Abraham? He says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But what James is referring to is something that took place in Abraham after he was circumcised, after he became the father of many nations. Paul is referring to Abraham before circumcision ever required. God spoke it, Abraham believed it, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. As a matter of fact, this verse right here, and I'll mention this, I know most of you are familiar with this, but this is one of the verses that when Martin Luther began to read and understand salvation by grace and wrote his edict and posted it on the door there of the Catholic Church, that he had understood that no longer were works involved, he got over to the book of James and he read this and he found it very difficult. And so he suggested that James should not be included in the canon of scriptures because he just didn't really understand it. Later on in Martin Luther's life, he said that you must, in order to understand the Bible, pay attention to whom it is written. People say, oh, this dispensational stuff is all new. It's just sprung up with Darby and that kind of. Now, come on, folks. You know where dispensationalism started? It started with the Apostle Paul. After all, he said, he wrote down the words in a letter to the church at Ephesus and said, the dispensation of the grace of God was given to me, to you. That's not a word we made up. That's a Bible word. And it's used by our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And Paul proclaims that salvation is no longer requires being part of Israel. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. We're all saved by grace. Go back by Rome, go to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, in Romans 4, verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now I want to ask you something. Was Abraham in his flesh righteous? I mean, had you interviewed his wife Sarah and asked her, is Abraham a righteous man? Is he without sin? You reckon she would recall one time when he lied about who she was? And she may have said, oh, he was a good man, but I couldn't say he was righteous. No, he wasn't righteous in his flesh. You and I are not righteous in our flesh. But you know what? Thank God we have an imputed righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to our account. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in him. God made us righteous. But what does religion teach? Religion says, oh, you've got to be righteous. You've got to do righteous things in order for God to count you as righteous. Got to join the church and be faithful and serve and be baptized. All of these things. No, folks, you've been made righteous. That's the message that Paul proclaimed. He proclaimed that salvation was apart from the law. They were justified by faith, and it was a faith alone in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote Ephesians 2:8-9, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works." Thank God today that our salvation is not the salvation of the nation Israel. It's not the salvation of keeping the law. It's the salvation that was given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ and proclaimed by the Apostle Paul in the 13 epistles that he wrote in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. In your Bible, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that include the teachings of Jesus Christ in relation to the coming kingdom and the program that was to be administered by the 12. You've got the death of Jesus Christ. Then in your book, Bible, you've got after Matthew, you've got the book of Acts. And there is recorded the fulfillment of the prophetic program of the preaching of that prophecy. And then in Acts chapter 9, you have the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And after Acts 15, you have the ministry of the Apostle Paul, all the way through Acts 28. And then lo and behold, the next 13 books in your Bible are written by the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. And then after those 13 epistles, you've got Hebrews, written to the Hebrews, through Revelation, all Hebrew epistles written by Hebrews, about the Hebrews, telling the Hebrews what to do during the tribulation and into the kingdom. And people think it silly to rightly divide the word of truth. You know what? You don't really even have to divide it. God already divided it for you. All you got to do is read it and believe it. Believe what was written to you, not to the nation Israel. If some of you may be listening to me today, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, because you've been trusting that message that belonged to the nation Israel, repent and be baptized, keep the law, on and on it goes. If that's the case, why don't you today acknowledge the message of salvation given to you as a lost Gentile? That is, Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said that gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the gospel that will save you today. Not your works, not your church membership, not your baptism, simply trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. If you've never trusted Him, do that right now. And trust Him and do it and receive Him. Receive the free gift of salvation as a gift today, because He went to that cross and died for you. And then sent an apostle with that message, the Apostle Paul. Next time we'll look at the next. We just covered three things today. Next time we'll continue with things that differ between Peter and the Apostle Paul. Would you stand with me for prayer?